Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Debrief My Podcast. This is a special COVID-19 edition where I'm ringing comics at their... Well, they tend to be at their home to see how they're going in isolation. Let's ring up one of the regular correspondents on my podcast, Nick Kappa. God knows how this will go, because you never know with Kappa. You never know with the Kappa man, because I'm ringing him via... God, I don't know what's going on. FaceTime? Something like that. Hey.
Hey, Dave O'Neill.
How are you?
Good.
Well, yeah. Thanks for being on my podcast. It's been great chatting. Yeah, how are you going in isolation?
Yeah, I'm doing good, actually. Like, working on a bit of stuff, trying to make the most of it. I live with a photographer and another comedian, Ben Knight. I think he's been on the
podcast. He's been on the Debrief. Yeah, of course. Yeah, Ben.
So we made like a little series in the house where we
an orange blob. It was funny with the orange blob. Yeah, right. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
What's it called again, that series?
It's called Steve. Yeah.
Steve, that's right. Steve. Yeah. All right, well, everyone, where can people find that?
Just on my Facebook or YouTube or Ben Knight's Facebook.
Yeah.
Have a look.
Lloyd, the British guy, plays the blob. Lloyd Langford.
Yes, Lloyd Langford, he's so funny. He sends us the, we got an overall kind of story and we film it and stuff, but then we just get him to fill in the gaps with funny stuff and he just always comes through with the amazing goods, you know. One of those people that's just a natural.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. Yeah. I did a tent in Chadston with him in the food court. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Really?
During the comedy festival, they had this tent in the food court next to Target, and we did some gigs together. And the night he was on, well, the day it wasn't the I wouldn't say it wasn't the night. It was an afternoon. It was actually wasn't bad because the comedy festival organised it, and they were all people paid to get in. And Millsy was there as the Millsy from Neighbours and Idol fame. He was there as the ambassador of the food court or whatever. So I said to him, what are you doing here? Jeez. He goes, oh, I'm paid to be here, man.
Really?
Yeah, imagine that job. The ambassador of the Chadston food court. Anyway, Lloyd was on. And I couldn't really watch him, but I could hear him. And then Millsy said afterwards, that British guy was the funniest one. So there you go. Good work.
Man, I hate the honesty in some people.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't that tear you apart?
I'm right here, Millsy. I'm standing right in front of you. You know, that's all right.
I don't know what's worse, being told, because I mean, I don't mean to Skype, but being told you're the best in front of all the other comedians, or another comedian being told they're the best in front of you. I've endured both, and they're both as terrible as each other.
Well, I think if you're hosting, like I was hosting that day, there's a different, people don't, even Millsy, who's in show business, they don't often understand that you're a comedian too, or you're a guy said to me once from my high school when he saw me doing comedy, he goes, and I was hosting a night at the comedy club, he goes, how long have you been introducing comedians for? I said, no, I am a comedian. He's like, are ya? And you know, as an MC, you've done at least 30 minutes of material, but they don't get it.
I had one once, it was like, all the comedians were great tonight, and you're not so bad yourself.
I just remember doing a gig in Lillardale, and I was emceeing. The guy went, "You were great. You were awesome. You were great." He looked at me and went, "Safe trip home, mate." we all just immediately burst out laughing.
I don't know whether I've told this one, but one of the first highest paid gigs I had, it was like $280 or something, or $300 for a support spot for Tommy Dean,
the great Tommy Dean. Yep,
and the. Yes, one of the best. Have you got him on yet? You should try and get him on.
I should ring him during this virus because he's very Sydney based, and I'm very Melbourne based. So And it's, yeah, a, it's that old thing. He's that old thing where he's got kids, I've got kids. He probably doesn't like to travel. And he's in that similar field to me. He's sort of known, but he's not that famous where he, you know, does his own shows or anything. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys. So he's a working comic, as he said to me once.
Yeah.
So what happened?
I think he plays board games. He's quite reserved. Board games. He loves board games. But yeah, we did this gig at the Central Coast, and I was so excited. And it didn't go that well. It went okay, but not very good. And the regret in the bloke's, the old bloke's face who ran the RSL is he gave me the money rolled up in the hand. I could just see he was angry about it, you know? Because probably he stormed it, you know? He stormed it, and they're all there for him, you know? But yeah. I was also inexperienced where I... Now I'd have a variety of material to use with the crowd.
Of course.
I'd go, okay, I can see the demographic here. I'll wheel them in a bit. But back then, I think I barreled into old people for at least 20 minutes. You know,
no, just
all my
old
stuff was about old people.
Yeah.
So it wasn't good. And you know, when you're first doing comedy or whatever, and I still do it sometimes now. You just step on the stage wrong, and any rude material or dirty material has worked in the past. But for some reason at that point in time, you just look like a dork saying it.
The
audience feels it. And it's something you both can't help. But you just say one rude thing, and it might not even be that rude, but it just feels out of place.
Or you become a shock comic where everything you say, they go, and then the headliner or the next act will get up and say really disgusting or whatever things and get a round of applause. Mm-hmm. You're like, what? What happened?
It's just that, oh man, it's the worst job. It's so, I'm actually pleased not to be doing gigs at the moment.
Oh, really? To have a break? Well, that's the thing.
It's
nice
having a break.
Yeah, so do you miss doing live gigs?
No, not really. No. I've been working with a bloke, and he said to me, he goes,
so when you mean working,
so what do you do at night and stuff?
Working with a bloke, you mean like you're working, what are you doing? What sort of work are you doing?
Just we're inspecting footpaths for tripping hazards.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Yeah, look at that. A bit of grass growing out of that one. Oh, well, write that down, Nick.
Yeah. Take two photos, write it down.
Just spray paint? Bit of orange spray paint?
It's good.
Did you do a bit of orange spray paint or?
No. I think that's the next guy who comes along. It's for the council, so there's a lot of tears going on there. You know, and I was definitely bottom tier. I was robot. Could do the job or me, you know?
But how do you identify, like, I know you write down the street, say it's like, so Reserve Avenue where I grew up, but Reserve Avenue's a long street, so how do you designate what do you number the pavings or something, do you, or? How do you say?
No, the number of the house it's in front of. And then you specify what end of the street it's at, so.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's deeper than 25 mil or higher than 25 mil, you mark it down. But if it's not, you just leave it. But I tell you what, I'm a real freedom fighter, Dave. And some of them were a bit under, but I felt that they could have been hazards anyway. So I kept doing that. You know.
So we're talking about 2.5 centimeters. Is that right?
I'm a real freedom fighter.
Is that what we're talking about? 2.5 centimeters.
Yeah, 25 mil. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so a big crew of like Maori guys come out and have to rip it up and fix it or something? Is that what happens? Like,
yeah, I think they put those little tar patchings on it little cement patching and fix it up. Otherwise, I tell you what, Dave, the state of the pit covers in the Thornbury, Northcote area are terrible. A lot of broken pit covers. Concrete things, a lot of cracks in them.
Are they the ones that cover the drains?
Report a lot of those.
Are they the ones that cover the drains?
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot. A lot. Very, very abandoned, very disused. So, there was a full-time job just getting the pit covers, I'd say. yeah.
And so what does this guy say to you? What did he say? What do you do at night? Is that what he said? Or?
Like, yeah, what do you do at night? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what I do. Like, that's my, I don't know what I do at night. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, for the last 11 years, I've done comedy. Like, sometimes I go to a party or whatever. I just lied and said, oh, yeah, I go see a band or something like that.
Well, you haven't told him you're a comedian yet. You haven't told him you're a comedian.
No, I don't tell anyone I'm a comedian when I'm working those kind of jobs.
Right. Yeah, right. But you must have a lot of time together.
But, yeah. Oh, no, I managed to keep it secret. The other bloke, he's from Ghana. So I asked him heaps of questions about Ghana. And,
oh, that's interesting.
And about the food. And
more interesting than our lives.
And I don't know. Those guys, they're real. Do you find that, like, someone from Ghana or somewhere kind of, because they ask very direct questions straight away.
Yeah.
And they kind of get straight away. And it's nice.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, how long you been with your girlfriend for? Are you going to get married? You should get married. You got to hang on to the best one. You know, you got to, otherwise you got to start again. That's within like 1 minute of meeting him.
Yeah, right. And also, someone like that, you go, I'm a comedian, and then he's probably looking and you go, then why are you doing this? No, I'll do it at, anyway.
I was praying I wouldn't get recognized, and it was lucky. He took a day off, and some bloke pulled up at the lights and said, oi, Kappa, and started beeping his horn, how you going, mate? And then drove off. And
but you could say, say to your Ghana mate, oh, just one of my mates, just really happy to see me. That's how we greet each other here in Australia. We enthusiasm. Oh man, that is so funny.
So that's good. But now I got promoted to. Oh man, I thought of you today actually.
Got promoted.
I thought of you and Aaron Gox, not because you're both big fellas, but because you're fans of this. Well, you're not so big now. You're not so big. You lost a lot of weight last time I saw you.
What? Yeah, I think you're getting me mixed up with somebody.
Well, you're looking pretty good. No, but you're not like, but you looked a lot healthier.
Oh, that's good. Must have been dark.
You told me you were doing some kind of.
No. Oh, fasting. Yeah, I was fasting. But that's kind of gone out the window now that the kids are home. Fucking 24/7, mate. It's a bit harder. But anyway.
Me too. I thought of you and you, because you guys love this stuff and I love it too, because I got promoted to clean up sporting facilities. So me and this crew of other people that have had their jobs used. And we went to the Northcote soccer club, this big Greek soccer club.
Great, great. Yeah. Probably not a gig there.
And, exactly, man. It was exactly like that footy club you and I went to at Westgarth.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
You know, and you could just tell it's a place like, it's a place where you and I would thrive. We don't go to like, I mean, I go to a fancy bar sometimes or a cool, but these places with the plastic tables, probably like the best Greek meals ever.
Oh, yeah.
A shitty bar with two is extra dry in the fridge. Yeah. That's where the good times happen, you know?
I know. I love those joints. They're the best. They're like ethnic clubs. When you go to an ethnic club, you're like, oh, this is good. Which is the soccer club in Northwood would be like. They what?
Oh, they're so loaded, you know. They've got all this. They've got a big grandstand, and this one had like a little press facility, you know, you know, like one of those walls where they take photos in front of. And we were just walking through it today, abandoned, and it was so great. Had Jack and Coke in a can special, $7, or no sugar Jack and Coke in a can, $7. Excellent.
I love it. Are you still doing the phone hacks podcast? Are you still doing that? You must be. The phone hacks.
Yes, yeah. We thought it might be the end of it because, doing it over Zoom or whatever.
Yeah.
might, you know, you can't, it's a bit of a tactile thing going through someone else's phone.
Oh, true. Yeah.
But we're lucky because we got a real good producer and he's made it sound like we're all in the same room. And it's actually, we've actually been able to get some good guests from America and New Zealand UK. So it's actually going great. And
tune in.
During these times, people are looking for stuff. So it's been really good. Actually, I've been listening to, somewhat related, your other podcast a fair bit lately.
Yeah,
great.
Good.
And someone told me, they go, "Oh, mate, do you do a podcast?" Like an old friend of mine. And I said, "Yeah, I do, mate." And he goes, "Oh, I think I heard an ad for that on somewhat related."
It probably was.
He goes, "You must be heard an ad for your podcast on another podcast." I'm like, "Yeah, man, that's how you make it.
That's how you make it." Now, I ask everyone these questions. I'm going to ask you. So, what was the last? Because we're in isolation. What was the last thing? Yeah. What was the last thing you cooked? Yeah.
Oh, the last thing I cooked a sandwich, like a nice bacon and egg sandwich with cheese, mushrooms, and onions on it for me and my girlfriend today for lunch.
Oh, nice. Yum. What was the last thing you
taught me?
You go on. She taught you what?
She taught me how to grill them with a pan rather than a toasted sandwich maker.
Yeah, my wife
so much better.
Cooks them in the pan. That's right. That's a woman's touch, mate. I never used to do that until I met my partner, and she goes, "No, you do them in the pan." Yeah, with butter and beautiful, mate. But you know what? I toast the bread beforehand, so I make it extra crispy.
Yeah, sorry. What was the next question?
What was the last thing you watched or listened to? What do you mean? You know, watching.
Oh, what's the last thing I watched?
Yeah.
Today I listened to this. I'm not into the UFC, but a friend said to me, "You've got to listen to this podcast," and I think you'd love it as well, Dave. It's the ESPN 30 and 30, the history of UFC. It only goes for an hour, and it's just how the Ultimate Fighting Championship started.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Well, I'm not into it, but I would be interested in that. I like history, so I reckon that'd be interesting.
It's excellent. There was this crazy car dealer. It started from this crazy car dealer, and he'd set himself on fire and jump onto cars and stuff in his own ads for his car dealership. And then he was just sitting on the beach, and he was a boxer. He was boxing as well. And there was a wrestler guy, and he said, "I wonder who would win out of a boxer and a wrestler." And they fought on the beach. And he said, "Oh, wow, this would be great." Yeah, he's the craziest dude. And he, it's just the best. It only goes for an hour, and it just tells you how the first tournament was. And it was they got this Dutch guy who was the scariest man they'd ever met. And he had to fight a sumo wrestler in the first round.
Fantastic.
And he kicked the sumo that hard that he knocked two of his teeth out, and they went into the audience.
Oh.
And then the sumo's teeth were stuck in his foot as well.
Oh. Well, I suppose it's like a simple idea, isn't it? Like a boxer fighting a wrestler, but no one had ever thought of it before. Or maybe they hadn't just pursued it, you know? So.
Yeah.
Maybe you got an idea up your sleeve, Kappa. You've got something up your sleeve, you know, like you could, you know, hit the entertainment circuit with. You know, because they try what they do in Perth. They do comedians versus rappers, don't they? Which is kind of like, I've never seen it, but.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, what's that like?
I've done that. It was kind of an unfair advantage because the rappers should know what they're doing, so they're rapping. So when the comedians do comedy, it's funny. But also when the comedians rap, because they've got the underhand, if they do something decent, then the audience is with them. So
we kind of
won easy because all you can do is make it look like you don't know what you're doing, then pull out a good rap, and then people are like, "Oh, wow, that's good."
Yeah, he's cool. He's writing stuff.
Yeah, we killed him.
Now my last question, what's the last bit?
It was a cool
You go on.
It was a good show. It was fun. Oh, anyway, keep going.
What was the last bit of human contact you had? Because, you know, we're not meant to be in contact. Who?
Oh, who? Yeah, just the people I work with today.
Yeah, right.
And that's it. And my, well, my girlfriend.
Your girlfriend. Yeah.
I just went for a nice walk with her. And then, yeah, that's it. But yeah, no, just the, it's weird because I've got my best friends and I haven't seen them for a whole month or even longer, but I work next to a complete stranger from Ghana.
Yeah. it is odd, isn't it? It's odd. You're right. It's very odd.
So weird.
Well, thanks for talking to me, Nick. And look, you can catch Nick's Phone Hacks podcast or watch his web series, as he said, on his Twitter or Facebook. Or if you're in Melbourne in the inner north, Northcote Thornbury, he could be walking around with a Ghanaese bloke checking footpaths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you've got a sports club, I'll be getting the cobwebs off the roof. So
it's good. It's good to talk to you, Cabba. Thanks for being on my podcast, The Debrief.
All right, mate. I'll talk to you soon.